This is the recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 14th, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We have before us a draft advisory opinion number 2017-12, Take Back Action Fund. Mr. Pender and Mr. Fisher are here. We have this morning been offered what was called a draft C, which has not gone on blue yet. I understand we'll put it on blue right away for potential consideration. So we'll take probably 15 minutes or so to get accomplished that. Everybody can take a look at it. And I see that the comments on advisory opinion number 1712 draft B was received by us, and I'm wondering if that's been a part of the record yet.
Who's the comment from?
This is the comment from a Take Back Action Fund.
Well, I believe we have two comments that we received late, but they're...
Mr. Chairman, we've received four comments total. They're all on our website at this point.
All right, so let's see. I'm told that... All right. So there's the two comments, and then we have now one draft C that's about to go blue. I believe
the Commission Secretary's office is waiting for the final version so that we can make it blue.
So we're going to take 15 minutes to take a, I see it's only a page or two, but to take a look at it, and then we'll decide where to proceed at that point. Okay, we're going to reconvene the session. Madam Vice Chair, we have a late submitted document.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider the late submission of agenda document number 17-59-C, otherwise known as draft C for the AO.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. The motion passes unanimously. Now we'll proceed to... The draft advisory opinion number 2017-12. We have Brendan Fisher and John Pudner here, ready to inform us on your views. And I think I'll ask the Office of General Counsel to, at this point, let's have a discussion on where we are on this at this point, and we'll go from there.
Thanks. Thank you, Chairman Walter, and hello, Commissioners. So Agenda Document 17-59-A, B, and C present three draft advisory opinions in response to a request by a Take Back Action Fund. Take Back Action Fund proposes to purchase paid image and video advertisements on Facebook that will expressly advocate for or against candidates. They ask whether this paid internet content must include all, some, or none of the disclaimer information required by the relevant provision of the Federal Election Campaign Act. All of the drafts conclude that Take Back Action Fund's proposed Facebook ads require disclaimers. Draft A concludes that the ads must include a full disclaimer on the face of the ad and that the disclaimer must be clear and conspicuous. Draft A provides examples of disclaimers on the proposed internet ads that would be considered clear and conspicuous. Draft B assumes the disclaimers will be clear and conspicuous and states that other methods of identifying the advertiser's source beyond those required by the Act may be permissible. Draft C refers the requester to the other drafts and concludes that the ads must contain a full disclaimer. The Commission received four comments on the drafts from three commenters, including the requester, and we're available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. We'd like to begin with any comment or questions by any commissioner. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for joining us here today. Appreciate it. I hear you came in from Alabama. Welcome back to D.C.
Thank you.
Excellent. So I think the gist of the issue here is that different commissioners are potentially reading your request a little bit differently. The way that some of us read the request is that you're saying that you're willing to put the full disclaimer on the ad, you're willing to adjust your ad a little bit in order to accommodate the full disclaimer. And our answer to that is, you're right, since you're not coming to us with any request for something other than the full disclaimer, then you must include the full disclaimer. And so that's our interpretation of it. We're answering, in our view, answering the question that you've asked. And one of the analogies that we've used in the office a couple of times this week is if you had a child whose job it was to mow the lawn every Saturday. But you're a reasonable guy, so if for some reason your child couldn't mow the lawn on a specific Saturday, maybe because it was too cold or the kid was sick or something along those lines, you might say, no problem, do it on Sunday or just do half of it on Saturday. And so in this case, the Saturday rolls around and the child has no request for special dispensation. He doesn't say it's cold or I'm sick or anything, and so you say, yep, mow the lawn. But if he or she were to say, I can't do it for some reason, you might say, okay, you don't need to do the full lawn or you don't need to do it today or something along those lines. There's several places in the request where it specifically says we're willing to put the full disclaimer on the ad. And so the answer is yes, you put the full disclaimer. If you were to come to us with a different set of facts, the answer might be different. But I don't think this is, you know, sort of an earth-shattering answer that's going to affect lots of people going forward. You ask a narrow question. As you know, under FECA, under the advisory opinion provision, when someone comes to us with a question with respect to a specific transaction or activity, the commission shall render an advisory opinion. And so we believe that draft B answered your specific question in a way that hopefully satisfies your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank the requester for a very interesting and provocative question. And I want to thank the staff for some really excellent work in drafting the proposed answers. I think the draft A, I'm going to propose one very minor alteration to it before I move its approval, but I think it answers the question in a way that is thorough and comprehensive and responsive to the request that was asked. The notion that our interpretation of the law would hinge on whether you were willing to comply with it strikes me as a very odd notion indeed. It doesn't matter whether they affirmatively say we are willing to comply with what the commission tells us. If we tell them that the law means that you need to have the disclaimer, then you're obliged to have the disclaimer. And I think that, and I'll ask you, do you disagree with that?
I would just say we have lively debates among our board. And there certainly are members who push for not putting disclaimers on, so not to get too into the internal, but, and I think the question was asked, are we saying clarity on is a disclaimer inconvenient was part of the response we got. And in 20-some years of running political campaigns before running this, every disclaimer is inconvenient. I mean, I think if that were the threshold, for two reasons. One is just the space it's taken up. The bigger one is, when you attack someone, just put it blankly, the attackers always hurt too, and everyone would love to leave a disclaimer on. I would argue that it's always inconvenient to abide by this law. And so we just want to leave here knowing the rules, because we're going to go back and have a discussion among our board and give direction to creative. And, you know, there'll be some who say, hey, I thought Facebook didn't need any ads or didn't need a disclaimer. I mean, I've heard that from just among people. And so I'd just like to leave here, or whatever it is, with something that I can go back and say either, hey, look, yes, look, we were right in our general thought. Disclaimers are required on these kind of Facebook ads, and we're hitting. And, you know, the material may take some different shape over time. Other issues may come up. But just to have that for a guiding principle, because there certainly are some who do not think you ever need a disclaimer on a Facebook ad. I mean, that has been proposed among people who are in our decision-making process.
And if I could add something, in drafting the request, I might have outed myself as a Midwesterner because I didn't think that stating an intent to comply with the law was a controversial proposition in any way. I think that the Take Back Acton Fund certainly intends to comply with the law, but also it was implicit in the request, and we thought self-evident that the inclusion of a disclaimer would involve some level of inconvenience. And in reading the past advisory opinions or the past advisory opinion requests and reading the regulations, it appears that the decision about whether a particular advertisement would fall under an exception depends on the constraints of the medium rather than the intent of the requester. So we just want to make that clear for the record.
Very good. Any further comment? Commissioner Goodman.
Yeah. John, good to see you back.
By the way, you can include Westerners along with the Midwesterner also.
Your comment expressed some confusion about draft B. I guess it may help if I elaborate a bit. Draft C says yes, include the disclaimer somewhere in that Facebook ad, right? And I don't read the standard for the exceptions as, I believe, Mr. Fisher, you said, some level of inconvenience. You're right, all the disclaimers in all ads present some level of inconvenience. That's not, to me, what triggers the small items or the impracticability exceptions to the disclaimer rule. What triggers those is where the disclaimer cannot practicably be included in the ad, and I think that's animated in prior decisions of the commission. I might also add that, at least for this one commissioner, nothing could be more impracticable than where the disclaimer requirement would censor the entire message. And that's, I didn't see that occurring in your proposal or in the new, either in your proposal that included an intent to comply with the law, and you also presented a number of characters that would allow you to comply with the law. In other words, I could see how not only do you have you prepared to include the disclaimer, but the ads you propose can accommodate them in a number of different ways. So where I saw that, it wasn't even accommodating them could be inconvenient. I don't think that's the trigger for the exception. So, but draft A cites as an example of disclaimer compliance by people advertising on online media, the FTC rules. And let me just read what that citation says. This is the document from the FTC that draft A cites. If a disclosure required by the FTC is required and it is not possible to make the disclosure clearly and conspicuously, then that ad should not be disseminated. This means that if a particular platform does not provide an opportunity to make clear and conspicuous disclosures, then that platform should not be used to disseminate advertisements that require disclosures. Now that, to me, triggers either the small item or the impracticability exception. And I think that is the result. That is the censorship that we have been concerned with for the small items like the very small quarter-inch strip on the bottom of your cell phone in Revolution Messaging, where the disclaimer will actually prevent the message from being disseminated at all. I didn't read that either in your intent, in the way you're fashioning your character message, you know, because you have a truncated message. But moreover, as I looked at the new Facebook ads themselves, I see a number of different ways that you can include the disclaimer, and that's why draft B says yes. You can include that disclaimer. Let's take the Facebook video ad. It runs up to 240 minutes, and that is an online ad that appears on either a cell phone screen or a computer screen. It's multiple inches in circumference, both height and width. And because that 240-minute video is like an accordion that can go up to 240 minutes, adding a few seconds to include your disclaimer would be one way to include that disclaimer in that ad. And that can be as overlay text to the video, or that could be a separate segment of the video itself, because, again, it's an accordion. So a few seconds of ad time, of video time, to provide that disclaimer doesn't otherwise prevent you from otherwise communicating your political message. In addition to that, you've got the overlay potential. And in addition to that, you've got the character space both above and below that picture. So when I looked at all the functionality and the size of these ads, that's what distinguished this. And I'd like you to have the flexibility, and I'd like all political speakers to have the flexibility to both speak and comply with our regulations. And the way I view the new Facebook formats, the ad formats, you can do both. And you can do both effectively. You can communicate politically effectively, and you can comply by providing the disclaimer information. Now, both Draft A and Draft B agree that when you provide that information, it doesn't have to be in the square box for printed materials. Draft A says that is one possibility, but the Commission has historically said that Internet ads are not the same as traditional broadcast ads or printed ads like in a direct mail piece. So Draft A here even says you could supply some of that information above the picture and some in the text below. You could provide some above, some in the image itself. Take the Facebook image ad. You can do an overlay over the image, or you can provide the disclaimer as part of the image, part of the picture that's in the image. So when I saw all the capabilities of these new ads, I was prepared to say, yes, we are not going to censor these political messages in the way that the FTC does, in the way that Draft A would suggest might be appropriate. And yet I wanted to leave you the flexibility of providing the public the information required in our disclaimer rules in a very flexible way, given the flexibility of this new format. So the answer is yes, include the disclaimer. You have a lot of flexibility for how you do so.
Okay, Mr. Weintraub, do you have I thought I saw your hand up earlier. No?
It was so long ago.
It was so long ago.
I forgot what I was going to say.
All right, anything further? Ms. Elkoff, do you have any comment on any of this? Okay. I support Draft A. I like it. I think I'm going to support that all the way through here. Are we ready for a vote? Apparently so.
Sure. I'll make a motion.
Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to Advisory Opinion Request 2017-12 from Take Back Action Fund, I move approval of Draft A as the answer, as set forth in Agenda Document Number 17-59-A. Oh, wait. With the minor correction, sorry. I want to make one small deletion on page 9 of the draft. There's a reference to on lines 6 through 9. There's a but see cite to a concurring statement of one commissioner, and I mean no disrespect to that commissioner in deleting it, but I just don't think that citing to the statement of individual commissioners is appropriate in an AO, because obviously one commissioner's view is not precedential. So my motion would adopt all of Draft A, but would delete, with the exception of the language on lines 6 to 9 of page 9, starting with the but C through the end of that citation. So the sentence would just end on page 6 after the word exception, close paren, period.
And you start up with in particular?
Yes, and then the next sentence would start in particular on these lines.
I totally agree. Any questions on what the motion consists of? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Okay. The ayes the motion fails. Commissioner Weintraub voted in favor. I voted in favor. The Vice Chair, Commissioner Goodman. And I'm assuming Commissioner Peterson voted against.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Any further motions? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In Advisory Opinion 2017-12, Take Back Action Fund, I move approval of Agenda Document Number 17-59-B, otherwise known as Draft B.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
The motion again fails. Commissioner Weintraub And I voted against the Vice Chair, Commissioner Goodman, and Commissioner Peterson voted in favor. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you know, we just made another draft, Draft C, public, just after the public, or while the public meeting just started this morning, and I hope people had a chance to take a look at it. That one, it says, yes, you have to include the disclaimer, but it doesn't provide a lot of information on how to do so because we don't agree on the answer to that. And it provides a footnote, footnote one, so that the public knows which documents different commissioners voted on.
Comment, Commissioner Weintraub.
I was hoping we could put together a document like this, but I would prefer to do it in the even more stripped-down way that we did in the FYP case advisory opinion. But the sticking point, I think, is going to be that, as I understand it, my colleagues are quite insistent on having that footnote. But no one actually voted for draft A as is. I mean, we voted for draft A with an amendment, so I wouldn't actually want anyone to be looking at draft A because it would not represent what my views are. I think the way that commissioners have handled situations like this in the past is they put out concurring statements, and I think we could put out concurring statements that are virtually identical to draft A and draft B. Draft A obviously is modified at the table, and that would cause less confusion.
Madam Vice Chair?
I agree. We wouldn't want to include something that you didn't actually vote on, so we'd be willing to change that to draft A as amended, or if we wanted to wait to make that document public, we could call it a different draft A point two, version two, and include that in there. We'd be happy to do that. That's a helpful suggestion.
Further comment?
Mr. Chair, maybe Mr. John, do you have a reaction to that? To get a unanimous vote of on the issue of yes?
Sure. I like draft C. Obviously, just reading it this morning, it seemed to sync up, and I understand the reasons for some of the notes later in B. It seems to take out those concerns for me just as far as the internal discussion we will have about exactly how to do these ads as Take Back Action Fund. Yeah, I just want to leave here knowing the rules, right. And for me, I think C does that. And to your point on what is a very inconvenient, onerous requirement, I argued in Connecticut against the Attorney General on the, I guess, other side disclosure because they wanted to make us do the disclaimer at the front of robocalls and radio ads where it would have completely eliminated the first right ability to speak. So I understand exactly where you're coming from there. For me, C looks stripped down to me, but I feel comfortable walking in with C to my meetings for my purposes and saying, here, we do have to disclaim. So I would certainly appreciate a positive on it if that were the consideration of the commissioners.
Further comment?
Mr. Chairman.
Madam, Commissioner Weintraub.
I would just like to suggest to Mr. Putner that he take a look at the Club for Growth AO on this issue of robocalls and very short. I don't think that actually involved a robocall, that involved a radio ad, but it might provide some guidance for the kind of situations that you were referring to, and our staff can give you the site to that particular AO.
Commissioners, can I just request, I want to make sure that we're clear, if we're being asked to prepare another draft that amends the original draft A, I just want to make clear that that's what's being requested of us.
It's not being requested.
Not, okay. Okay.
I don't think we can. I don't think we can rewrite the history that way. You know, to put out a blue draft after the meeting that we're referring to in a document that we're voting on.
What?
I don't. It's not going to work for me.
You can just put it as amended.
But then people would have to listen to the tape to even figure out what the amendment was. And as I said, I can accomplish the same goal by just changing the captions on the document.
Madam Vice Chair?
Oh, I'm sorry. What was your proposal?
No, I can take draft A and turn it into a statement, a concurring statement very easily, and that will explain my rationale for my vote. I just don't understand why that footnote is so critical.
Because without the footnote, there would be an advisory opinion, on the public record that would presumably garner 5 votes, and it would eliminate for the public the reasoning behind how commissioners voted. And I think it frankly gives the draft a lot more
context.
Including the footnote clearly gives the public more information and more context, again, in how commissioners voted. Without it, it leaves a lot to be desired, and I think one could read sort of more into this opinion than they may otherwise. And it sounds like the requester is happy to get a vote. It'd be a great way to end the year to have an advisory opinion that gets all 5 votes. And we're happy to, say as amended in there, your vote, clearly your motion said draft A with this change. So the public record is clear in that sense. And, we can alter the footnote to say as amended.
Can I make a request? So you raised the importance of the footnote in providing context. And I wonder, and I apologize for the drafting of the initial request and for the late submission of the comment, but one of the points that we made in the comment was that we were concerned that there were elements of the request that were mischaracterized in draft B, and it may not have been critical to the final outcome, but there was language there was language in draft B that suggested that Take Back Action Fund did not think that including a disclaimer would compromise or diminish the political message that it wished to convey, and clearly that's the case, as Mr. Putner has attested to. Would it be possible to include also a cite to our comment in this footnote to provide that additional context?
It's not part of the commission's own speech. It'll be part of the public record. Mm-hmm. Something that was clearly considered. When I see a 240-minute video, I wasn't necessarily impressed that you'd have to crop or limit in any way your political message to add a few seconds of a disclaimer onto the front end or back end of that video that appears. So that wasn't necessarily dispositive to my thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there was the language in draft B that characterized the request characterized the requester as not believing that the inclusion of a disclaimer would compromise or diminish the political message that it wished to convey.
I understand your point of contention with draft B. We've already voted on that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the requester brings up an important point, though, and it's one of the reasons why I'm uncomfortable incorporating the drafts into the footnote. And again, I think if you want to provide context for what you're doing, you issue a concurring statement that explains exactly why you're voting for it. But I actually agree with requester. I think draft B mischaracterizes the request, which very specifically asks about the how prior AOs apply to the conduct that you're anticipating. And I think draft B kind of pretends that those questions aren't even there.
Mr. Chairman, the footnote will reflect that Commissioner Weintraub voted against draft B.
Yes.
We're simply trying to preserve the history of the disagreement as part of the yes answer. And this is a factually accurate history of what occurred here and preserves what is on the public record as a qualification to the yes. But certainly your disagreement with draft B is clearly reflected in a parenthetical that says you voted no on draft B. It's merely history.
Let's say the same for me.
We would be preserving.
Any further comment? All in favor?
What's the motion?
I don't know, actually. That is a motion.
Commissioner,
I assume we've done A and B, so let's...
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, Madam Vice Chair.
Commissioner Weintraub, I know you proposed amending one of the sentences in draft C. I don't have the language that you proposed in front of me, but as I told you before we reconvened, I'd be happy to accept your amended language in the body of draft C. So if you want to make that motion, I just don't have the language in front of me, or I'd do so.
Well, I will explain the language just so everybody will know what we're talking about. After reviewing draft C, which and we were, there was some back and forth last night over whether we could land on a draft C. This version of draft C, I didn't see until we were literally at the table. What I proposed was to copy the language that we had used in a previous AO where we had this kind of problem. It was an AO that I think was issued to FYP, and maybe council can help me with the AO number. Does anybody have that? All right, well, somebody will find it. So what I was going to propose was that we take the same language that we had agreed on before, which would mean that on line 23 of draft C, I want to make sure I'm looking at the right version of it. On line 23, the rest of that paragraph would be amended to read, although the commission could not agree on the legal basis for its conclusion by the required four affirmative votes. And I would be willing to vote for that, unfootnoted.
I prefer the original language, but as I told Commissioner Weintraub, I'd be willing to vote for her amendment to the body of draft C, but only if it includes the footnotes for the footnote for the reasons discussed. I would hate to not have four votes because we wanted to include a footnote with public documents that incorporates more context into what we did today. Confuses me.
Well, it also confuses me why you can't accomplish the exact same goal through the traditional method of issuing a...
Because if I issued a concurring statement, it would, yes, it would be public, it would be on the website, but it would not be within the body of the document that garnered four votes. And it's important to us that our thoughts are memorialized within the document that garnered four votes. As I said earlier, otherwise one could read draft C and read more into it. As we've discussed, there's a lot of nuances here that are not incorporated, obviously, in draft C. And we want to make sure that the thoughts that we've both explained here publicly and issued in draft B are incorporated into the document that is hopefully approved by the commission.
Any further comment?
I think we're at an impasse.
I plan to stay with the draft A. Do we have a motion?
No. Because it's not going to get four votes.
Okay, so we're not going to be able to vote on draft C because of footnote one, apparently.
All right. Thank you very much. Excuse me, Mr. Peterson.
Chairman Walther. Could we take just a brief recess? I think we're ready to come out of recess.
All right. Thanks. We're back in order. Any further comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We both voted on documents that say yes. We all agree that the proposed conduct is permissible. The requester has indicated that they truly do want a yes, and so I think we owe it to the requester and to try and turn over every stone to see if we can get to we agree with the rationale, but if we don't come up with a draft that receives at least four votes, that's probably some cold comfort to the requester. On the one hand, you could walk away saying, well, the commission was unanimous. All of them said yes for different reasons, but when you're dealing with your board, when you're dealing with others, if you don't have a a draft in hand that says I had four votes for this, I'm not sure if saying, well, let me show you three different drafts that that would kind of cobble together and get us the same thing. Obviously, the advisory opinion provision in the Federal Election Campaign Act provides a shield, and I think that if we are at yes, I think we should probably try to do everything we can to try to get there. So here is another shot at it, and maybe this will require some reflection and some thought and some back and forth, but I'm looking at draft C, and if I garble the proposal the first time, I'd be happy to read it another time through to make sure that we all understand. Strike footnote one. Let's start with the sentence on line 20. And I'll just read it, and then I'll indicate when an insertion will be made. The commission concludes that, under the circumstances described in the request, TBAF, excuse me, must include all of the disclaimer information specified by 52 U.S.C. section 3120A on its proposed paid Facebook image and video advertising, although, and then here's where we would add some new language, comma, as reflected in the draft advisory opinions considered by the commission, comma, the commission did not agree by the required four affirmative votes on the basis, on the legal basis, so insert legal in front of basis, for delete or scope of it, and just in lieu of that, include the word this conclusion. So let me read it through without indicating where all the stops and starts are. The proposed language would be, the commission concludes that under the circumstances described in the request, TBAF must include all of the disclaimer information specified by 52 U.S.C. 3120A on its proposed paid Facebook image and video advertising, although, comma, as reflected in the draft advisory opinions considered by the commission, comma, the commission did not agree by the required four affirmative votes on the legal basis for this conclusion. Mr. Chairman, I understand, and I don't want to interrupt anybody's review of that language and thinking it over. I understand the concerns that that everyone at this table has in terms of there's always a concern of wanting to maintain and preserve positions and not yield too much, and also concerns about perhaps inadvertently having something cited back at them another time. And saying that, well, you've in effect conceded a position that you thought you hadn't conceded, and so I'm very sensitive to what all the concerns are at the table, and certainly I'm willing to work on trying to get a formulation that will preserve, I think, what everybody wants to preserve. Obviously, lurking in the background of this request, as we all know, is a rulemaking that we've all voted on to undertake. I don't know how many, over 100,000 comments that have come in, and I commend our Office of General Counsel for their remarkable work in going through all of those, sorting through, and getting a notice of proposed rulemaking prepared, and hopefully early next year that that process can get underway. And I would imagine that some of our concern is making sure that we preserve positions, don't decide too much in light of what is going to obviously be a more comprehensive undertaking. So I understand what the motivations are. And so if it does make this a little bit of a threading of the needle in order to answer and give an affirmative advisory opinion to the requester to give him the comfort that his organization needs, while at the same time kind of maintaining the positions that maybe each of us have going in and hope to debate during that upcoming rulemaking. So this is a proposal. Hopefully, maybe this moves the ball forward, but I would certainly hope we could find something that gives everybody comfort on this matter.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the effort. In my experience, we never do good work when we try and draft something at the table while we're sitting here. And I'm absolutely no disrespect intended, because I know we're trying hard to try and thread the needle, but I'm not sure the sentence even entirely makes sense to me as rewritten. But I'm willing to continue to toss language back and forth and see if we can come up with something which we could vote on tally and then make public. I'm not sure we're going to be able to pull it off sitting here at the table right this minute. And I'm not sure it's fair to everybody who's watching and listening, including the requesters, to have them sit here all day while, you know, we huddle in our respective corners and try wordsmithing one way or another. So I'm not closing the door on the efforts. I'm not sure this is the best way to get that done.
Okay. Can I inquire with the Office of General Counsel, what is our calendar on this advisory opinion request?
January 8th, I believe.
And I know that we're voting on a calendar later on in the agenda. I don't have that in front of me right now. What's our proposed first meeting of the new year?
I believe it's January 9th.
January 11th?
Yeah. January 9th. Exact January 11th for the open.
For the open,
I'm sorry, yes.
And let me, just as further food for thought, as a potential alternative edit, let me propose something else out there, just so we have a few different plates or a few different balls in the air that we're juggling. Another possible edit would be at the end of line 22, putting a period after advertising on line 23, striking the word although, then adding a prefatory clause, for the reasons set forth in the respective draft opinions, comma, and then the commission did not agree by the required four affirmative votes on the, insert the word legal, basis for this conclusion, striking or scope of its. And of course, that would also include striking the footnote language.
Can you give me that one again?
Sure, not a problem. End of line 22, strike the comma, insert a period after advertising. The beginning of line 23, strike although, add the phrase, for the reasons set forth in their respective draft opinions, comma. And then it would read from there, the commission did not agree by the required four affirmative votes on the legal basis for this conclusion. So adding legal before basis and striking or scope of its conclusion. And as I mentioned before, striking the footnote.
Not prepared to do it right this second.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Peterson.
Can I ask the requester, in the event that there was a desire to continue to kind of hash this out, it looks like there might be a three-day extension at a minimum that might be needed to be put in place in order to consider this at the first meeting of the new year, or if you couldn't give us an extension, there, I don't know if there'd be interest in continuing to try to resolve this by tally, but what is your time frame in terms of ability to offer an extension if necessary?
Sure, we certainly the extension into January, we'd be happy to grant. I'm more concerned about the federal judiciary purging some of the talent up there and ending. So I'm just hoping there'd still be a quorum for a vote on something like that. But certainly, if that were the possibility, we'd be happy to grant an extension.
Okay.
I wanted to chat with Commissioner Peterson for a second, so.
Okay.
Take a quick break. Meeting until perhaps 2 o'clock. And then maybe we if we make headway, fine. If we're not, we'll let you know quickly, no. And then in the meantime, I'm going to ask for a couple of things to be done by vote. So I guess, let's say, take it out of order while this is. I'm not sure procedurally the best way to do it, but there's a couple of things I'd like to see us vote on if we can, one of which is our legislative recommendations.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. So we're not going to recess. We're just going to hold this matter over until 2 o'clock. Is that correct?
I guess that's the phraseology.
Okay.
So.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Council, I thought, had something to say.
We were informed that requester may not be available after 2 o'clock, and before we agreed to that, I wanted to make the commissioners aware of that fact.
Well, I think we'll either have a deal or we won't at that point.
Okay. Thank you.
Now resuming the
open session.
There was a continued since this morning. We're now on the issue of advisory opinion number 2017-12 with a discussion. We left it that we would try to see if we could reach some kind of a point of view that would meet the satisfaction of all of us. So we went to lunch instead. I'm just kidding. we did go to lunch, but nevertheless. Based upon what I know, we're still not able to quite get there, but let's chat for a minute and see where we go. I had to propose something to look at, basically, which would simply be a footnote, and then in the footnote, it would just point the one sentence, would just say the commissioners expressed divergent points of view or have held different rationale for reaching the decision, some of which can be identified, and that would name the new. It would assume that we would amend draft A, as indicated previously, and agenda draft B, both of which were voted upon at the meeting, open meeting. But at this point, it doesn't look like that can garner the requisite, garner 5 votes anyway. But I'm just throwing out some thoughts, and I'm open for any discussion. Anybody want to add to it how this, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to let my colleagues know that we're in the process of making blue a version of draft A, which is the exact thing that we voted on, so that at least there would be a clean copy of that, and we could at least avoid the issue of there being two drafts, except one of them wasn't exactly the draft that got voted on, and I think that that's going to, as you know, it always takes a little bit of time to make a document blue. So, but I think that might help to alleviate some of the confusion. And as I said earlier, I'm happy to. I mean, on the one hand, everyone has voted for a draft that expresses the conclusion that the ads have to include the disclaimers. So, in some sense, the requester has an answer. It's not expressed in a single document, but there is certainly some guidance as to what the views of the commission are. I'm happy to continue to work with my colleagues to see if there's any way to get to a single document, but I don't think we're there yet. And I think it's, as I said earlier, I think, sort of writing on the fly and trying to pass language back and forth in the middle of a meeting is not a good process for ending up with a result that everybody feels comfortable with in the end and doesn't wake up the next morning and say, oh, my God, we should have changed the word to that because that would have made more sense. I just don't want to find ourselves in that position.
Well, we have done this before, and maybe the results weren't perfect, but at least we got a result. Here, my only point on this is that you'd like to have a document that you can actually say, we made a decision, and then from then on, and enough notice to know that there's other points of view out there. It wasn't unanimous. We got four votes, though. So it seems to me that if there's a way to express that in a more acceptable point of view, and mostly that is just to give notice in this sentence. It's just one sentence. That there's other ideas out there. I did not like the idea of being cabined in to just the two agenda documents as the content of our various views, because I and others are probably going to write statements of reasons and it might go on and on a little bit. So I didn't want to have that misunderstanding that this is a composite of all thinking on it from the commissioner level. So I used the word some. Some of which can be identified in Agenda Document 1 and 2, so that that's clear that read it and watch it and read it and think about it, but there could be additional embellishments or clarifications from just those two documents of themselves, because they never are exactly the way they're never perfection, let's put it that way. Anyway, I would, if there's areas where you see moving, or if there is a way to express that view in a less concerning way, I think we ought to give it a shot. But I do think, and say the word divergent, the use of the word different rationale instead of points of view, excuse me, different rationales. Some of which can be something like that might be a way to look at it. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I would be willing to vote for your proposal.
Mr. Chairman, I would too.
I mean, I saw it over lunch. I've heard you repeat it again here. I thought that the language you came up with was a very good attempt to try to bridge all the different concerns, and I could support that too if there were a motion made.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I would prefer not to vote on it today. I would prefer to make the document that the chairman and I already voted on to make that blue as we voted on it, so that we could have a clean draft and it wouldn't be confused by the amendment. And I'm not at this moment entirely comfortable with the formulation that says some of which can be identified in this document and that document, because in some ways this would take me back closer to your original footnote, but I don't want it to be unclear that which draft I supported. I don't want to suggest that there was some consensus on draft B or the rationale on draft B, because I definitely do not agree with that. So if we're going to go down this road, I would prefer greater clarity on which draft was supported by whom.
Well, I mean, I'm with you on that, but I don't know. So I'm open to how to get that done. Madam Vice Chair.
Perhaps we could drop a footnote to after each document number to record the names of the people who voted for that document. And I know you're getting your document blue right now. Since someone has to leave in a little bit, perhaps we could do the vote, and then I believe that would be a technical conforming change, just to add in the number of the document that'll be blue in the next few minutes. So we could do both of those things, and I think that would allay your concern, sounds like.
Well, I think we might, if we're going to say we voted for that document, I think we actually have to vote for that document.
Let's get the document amended, document A, so that we have that behind us. And no matter what, we're going to do that. So would you like to make a motion for that, to amend it? Just you would amend draft A?
Well,
I guess it never went blue is the concern.
We already voted for an amended. We amended it at the table.
Right.
But in order for somebody to track that, if they were looking back later, they're going to have to sort of check the SIR to listen to the statement. So I thought if we're going to again, I didn't realize, because I didn't get your draft C until we walked into the meeting, that this was going to be an issue, or I would have done this before we came in today. Sure. I thought we could just amend it at the table and it would be fine. But that has now created an area of confusion that I think I would want to see alleviated before we vote on anything. And I think it would, as I understand it from Council, I think we have to actually vote on that document.
We've already voted.
Yeah, we already voted.
Right, but that document wasn't in front of us, so it's sort of.
So how do we get it done? That's the question. How do we get it done now?
Well, it's in the process of being made blue as we speak, I think.
Good.
So the vote that has already been taken is on draft A, subject to amendments at the table, and the new document is actually a version of that. It reflects the amendments that were made at the table in the document. So as a technical matter, there is no draft A-1 right now.
So we call it
A-1? To vote on.
Draft A-1?
But it doesn't exist yet.
Menashnan.
The problem is you don't technically need to vote again on the motion that's already been made. The problem is your vote certification doesn't reflect that it was draft A1.
Right.
So the paper trail concern is still not quite looped altogether, if that.
I think the question is whether it has to or not, but as a matter of preference to try and make sure that there's no misunderstanding as to what document it was. So, I mean, I support Commissioner
Montrose. Right, so my answer is it doesn't have to be, but if you're trying to link up all the steps, the certification as current will not say A1.
We can't say we voted for draft A1 because, technically speaking, we didn't, although it will reflect the text that we voted for.
But then why can't you say the first A if it's going to reflect the text that we voted for, that you voted for?
Well, it won't, because the first draft A was amended at the table, so it's not going to be the same document.
So when we vote on a document, I say, oh, and I'd like to change this one word. You're saying the document's not changed. The motion says that.
Yeah,
so
the motion says that. And then if we adopt it, then there is a final draft. There's a final version of that, and that reflects the changes. But in this case, there won't be a final version of it because we didn't adopt the document. So we have to create the final version.
Do we need a motion to do that, or is it being done already? As I understand, something's going on blue right now.
I think what we would have to do to clean it up at this point, and again, if I had known we were going to have a draft C that wanted to refer to these documents, then I would have done it before the meeting, but I didn't know that. But I think there may be other ways of doing this, but one way of doing it would be to move to reconsider the vote on draft A, and then have a new vote on draft A1, but we have to wait until that document is on blue and it's in front of us before we could do that. And having said all of that, I still personally would like a little bit more time to think about the language.
To think about which language?
The language that is being proposed for draft C.
The language about the expressed version rationales?
Yes.
You want to think about that?
Yes. Yeah, it was handed to me 5 minutes ago, and I'd like to think about it.
But it's the same sentiment that we've been talking about since this morning.
Actually, since last night.
Yeah, for a while now. It's the same. If we can't agree on a couple of words.
Well, there must be some words at work. I see the point.
I think there might be. I'd like more than 5 minutes to think about it, though.
I think we've had more than 5 minutes.
So are we using the word rationale instead of points of view?
Well, I think that was your change, Steve.
Yeah,
I'm working
on a draft that's in front of you that it's not like a blue document that everybody has.
Yeah, I apologize.
I'm just based on everything that's being discussed.
Okay.
Right now. It's just changing minute by minute.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah,
I would just like to thank you and Commissioner Peterson for offering what I view is about four constructive solutions to this, all of which, some of which are more explicit and cite the actual documents that are in the historical record. Commissioner Peterson even offered to not even cite those documents, but to reflect that there were drafts in existence. And I'd just like to thank you for trying to get the commission to a consensus position, to get Mr. Pudner to a consensus yes, and to get the public, because I take it that Mr. Pudner's request wasn't just for his organization, but was to serve a broader public purpose. And Mr. Pudner, you do walk away with a yes. I think your attorney or attorneys are fairly capable of taking the two drafts to see where the commission is on the issue, that in some shape or form these this disclosure information is going to be required in your Facebook ads. And I just want to thank you for trying to get there. My time is limited today, and it doesn't look like we're going to get there. And so I just wanted to express those thoughts that I think there's been yeoman effort at compromise here, and when one commissioner doesn't want to compromise, then there just not going to be one.
What about the idea of saying distilling it down one more way, and rather than reaching the decision after the period, to say the commissioners hold different rationale, or some of the commissioners, but let's try it this way, the commissioners hold different rationales regarding their respective votes, comma. Some of which can be found in the two agenda, in the two agenda documents considered and voted upon at the meeting.
That's fine with me.
Mr. Chairman, that's fine with me.
It's a little bit not as quite as messy, but it gets the point across in short sentences. Just a thought. No matter what we need to, what does it take to get on blue these days? Are we there yet, or what?
The staff in our office that normally handles that had been waiting throughout the afternoon on something, so he stepped out of the office for a moment for lunch, but he should be back momentarily.
So it's not in the hopper yet?
I mean, it should be within the half hour, within 20 minutes.
Commissioner Goodman has to leave. Is there a way to reach a consensus on this kind of language and know in advance that we can support that when it does go on blue? I mean, maybe we could begin in that regard.
We can't vote on the document if it's not in front of us. It's not in front of us.
I'm sorry, we can vote on draft C as edited at the table.
Well, not if it contains a reference to a document that's not in front of us yet.
But that document is. It was as amended.
Right.
And there could be a technical agreement to a technical citation, a technical change in the citation.
Well, I don't think it could say
draft A as amended, and then it could say paren, subsequently released as draft D or whatever you A2 or A, whatever that document. Because we're not going to vote again on that document. We've had the vote on that document as amended, so we're not anticipating another vote.
Well,
if it's a worry about what we're citing. We can arrange the proper citation for that.
Well, that's what I'm unclear on. I don't think we can just swap out the document and say this is the thing we voted on when it wasn't actually.
No, the proper citation will be draft A, as amended, and then you could put in subsequently provided or made blue or made public as draft or whatever the new notation is.
Does that work?
We're all shaking our heads yes, so we're going to go with yes, that works. I think the record is sufficiently clear, and it is identical in substance to the motion originally taken.
I think we have it. Mr. Weintraub, do you want to read it?
Yeah. With apologies to everyone, because I think it would have been a lot better to not do this in the middle of the meeting, but sometimes the sausage gets made in public. All right, so this is really kind of an amalgam of what everyone has thrown out at one point or another. We would take draft Z. On line 22, we would end the sentence at the end of that line, advertising, period. Delete the rest of that paragraph, lines 23 to 25. Put a footnote at the end of that sentence. So it would be advertising, period, footnote. We're back to the footnote. The footnote would read, in reaching this conclusion, commissioners relied on different rationales, comma, some of which are reflected in, and then we go to the text of the footnote that was originally in draft C, because if we're going to go down this road, I would rather have more clarity rather than less clarity about who voted for what, with the change that where it now says agenda document 17-59A, it would read 17-59A1, which would be the new blue document that would reflect what the text that Commissioner Walther and I, Chair Walther and I, voted for. And I'm asking the staff if we can do it that way. Does that work?
Exactly. Dana, is it public now?
It's not. She's literally making copies right now, and I believe that if we're going to include it in a motion, we need to do a late submitted document motion.
That makes sense. So I just want to get clarification from council. Can I? Okay, here. Yes.
They're going to be made right now.
Commissioners. Oh, go ahead,
Larry. I don't think that a late submitted document motion is necessary because, and this is splitting the hair particularly fine here, you're not actually considering draft A1. You are considering draft C as amended, and you are directing the secretary to make draft A1 public, and you are citing to it in a footnote, but you're not actually going to consider and vote on draft A1.
But the footnote would include our votes for the text that is embodied in A1.
Mm-hmm. In other words, the actual vote by each of the commissioners will be reflected in the footnote.
You're going, so the plan is to vote on document A1?
If you say we need to. What I want is to have a clean document that reflects the thing we voted on. That
I guess there is a question to make it sound like there's a vote in advance, but I don't know how.
I don't have the language in front of me, but the way you read the footnote, it sounded to me like you would accomplish that in reaching this conclusion. Commissioners had different rationales, some of which are reflected in documents.
Right, but the documents would have a parenthetical after them that reflected who voted for
what. Who voted for what.
In other words, document A1 supported by Commissioner Weintraub and I, and document B supported by so-and-so.
If you were going to be
negative way.
Absolutely accurate, you'd probably have to vote on if that footnote was going to be be absolutely accurate, you'd need to vote on A1. If you figured it was close enough and people can figure it out, you didn't need to. Then you.
Well,
don't
why don't
need
we
to.
Just do it the right way?
Look to it for guidance. I want it to be a clear and accurate document. But it looks like we may actually have the blue document.
Let's just do it the right
way.
Are you
saying it would be cleaner if we reconsidered the vote on A and revoted it?
I think that would probably be the cleanest thing would be to reconsider the vote on A and then vote.
You can't move to reconsider
A1.
And then we would need a motion for the late submitted document.
And you would need a motion for the
late submitted document. Now, the motion to reconsider needs to be made by someone who voted for it.
Who was on the prevailing side.
So it would be Commissioner Weintraub.
Well, there is the prevailing side? I mean, nobody actually prevailed. Someone who voted for it.
Yeah, you have to vote.
I
you have to take your vote back.
Yes.
Yeah. I would.
No, one moment.
Hey, we're on a roll.
Oh, good God. I think they must have run out of copies here or something. Maybe there's another one there.
It's kind of like the end of first meeting.
Are we prepared to move to retract Exhibit A or Agenda Document A? We're just following the right steps. Well, you were going to.
Yeah, one
consult
moment.
With yourself.
Chairman.
Right. We'll still have four votes.
Yeah.
Motion to reconsider can only be made by a member who voted on the prevailing side, which
that
would mean since the motion failed, it would need to be a member who voted against that motion who made the motion to reconsider.
Yeah, we're familiar with that approach.
What have you guys asked to
do? Do I hear a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move to reconsider the vote that was made with respect to agenda document number 17-59A.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. The ayes have it unanimously. Commissioner Peterson to vote Petitioner Goodman to be vote. Commissioner Goodman to vote maybe later. Okay.
We need a late submitted document motion now for agenda document 17-59-A1.
Madam Vice Chair?
So moved.
Good enough for me.
Good enough for me, too. Call the question, Mr. Chairman.
Seriously? Okay.
We have to vote on it.
So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion is unanimous with the time left for Commissioner Goodman to vote.
Okay, my turn.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of a proposed answer to a advisory opinion request 2017-12 from Take Back Action Fund as reflected in agenda document number 17-59A-1.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 Okay, right now we're deadlocking 2-2. Commissioner Weintraub voted in favor. I voted in favor. The vice chair voted against, along with Commissioner Peterson, and we'll leave a space available.
But by definition, the motion will fail
of course.
We can't get to 4 from there.
Exactly.
All right. Now that we've done all that, do I need to repeat the motion? Did I make a motion before?
I don't believe you did make a motion before.
Yeah. Can I, how about this, and you tell me if this motion works. I move to approve an amended version of draft C of the response to advisory opinion request 2017-12 from Take Back Action Fund as set forth in agenda document 17-59-C and as amended as I previously described at the table.
That motion's in order.
Thank you, Mr. Calvert. Where would we be without you?
For sure. Prepared to vote? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? None. The ayes have it. We have 4 votes. Leave a space for Commissioner Goodman.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. You have it. You're welcome. Thanks for your patience.
More complicated than I anticipated.
Made it. We have a little follow-up here.